kind of speaks to what we're going through. It spoke to me because I sometimes have trouble of putting my foot in my mouth, you know, open mouth, insert foot. I don't want to do that. Yeah. So we just kind of need to really be careful with that. And this song speaks to that.
Preaching on change. And when he sang that song this morning, I mean, it just absolutely floored me. And I'm just reminded how gifted a singer and a worship pastor he is. And you all, from time to time, you let Randy know just how much you appreciate him and Sister Jackson. This is part two. I'm not going to go back and reread Luke 6:47 through 49, but you do. You read it. You know, someone that I love asked me, why do so many people leave the church? Why are so many people leaving this church? And I have a lot of those answers. Sometimes people leave because they get their feelings hurt. They think they can find another church where they're, and I'm amazed that they think, if I've said it before, if you're doing anything at all for Christ, somebody's going to criticize you. So if you go to another church and if you do anything at all, you expect to be criticized. Somebody will say, wow, brother Pastor Teddy, he's just really, hey, he's right on. He's right. I can't believe it. People are talking about me. But you have to ask yourself, if you're doing anything at all in the church, what motivates you and who are you doing it for? If you're not motivated out of love and if you're not doing it for God, I can understand why you'd want to run and quit. Then sometimes people leave because they're not being fed. Sometimes, but you can't say that here at Bethel. You don't say, and I've heard people say, well, I'm just not being fed anymore. You got to bring an appetite. Travis, I'm only with you 30 minutes in the morning, another 30 minutes on Sunday night, maybe 30 on Wednesday. You've got to bring an appetite. My wife told me, she said, when you leave, I've got supper ready. Now, imagine if Betty Jo, bless her heart, she's already tempted. I'm going to tell you all right now, these are pecan pies up here. Now, if I eat them pecan pies, Brother Walter, before I get home, what do you think that's going to do to my appetite? Yeah, you're probably right. I'll still be able to eat. I'm not even sure where I'm headed with this. My point is this. This is a great church, is still a great church, and will continue to be a great church if we do what? Follow God. Trust and obey. So I said a moment ago, there are certainly things that come into our life that hinder our spiritual growth. We talked about change. A lot of people don't change because they're fearful of change. They've never done it that way. Sin. I mean, I could go on and on and on. People leave church. They want their ears tickled. They don't want sound doctrine being taught. We're living in the last days. Travis is much younger than all. He's probably the youngest person here tonight, he and his wife. And that millennial group, there are not a lot of millennials that go to church. Their parents didn't go to church. Or if they did, when my parents stopped going to church, we stopped going to church. And so we've really, and don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say, but we've reared up a godless generation of young people. All you have to do is turn on Fox News. Man, at some of these institutions of higher learning, they're burning down the campus, burning the campuses down. And a preacher like me, they wouldn't give me the, first of all, they wouldn't let me probably come in and speak. And all I'm going to do is preach from the Bible. It's real. I don't even want somebody to ask me what I think or what I believe. My theology comes from God's Word, and so should yours. All right, when a Christian stops growing, I think you would all agree with me that help is needed. If you're the same Christian you were a few months ago, be careful, because you might need a checkup. You should be growing. And unfortunately, there are a lot of things that stunt our growth. We're not spending time in God's Word, that'll stunt your growth and my growth. Sin will stunt your growth, it will stunt my growth. So, let me give you just a few hints, if you will, that will help you in your growth and your level of intimacy with Jesus Christ. First, the habit of prayer. Write that down, the habit of prayer. The Bible says, base your happiness on your hope in Christ. And when trials come, endure them patiently, steadfastly. We are to maintain the habit of prayer. Write down Romans 12:12. Romans 12, you don't have to look it up now. Just write it down in the margin of your Bible. If you want to grow, you've got to spend time with God. It seems like when there is adversity and trial and trouble in my life or in the church, it drives me to my knees. My shoulders are not big enough. It grieves me. I get discouraged, and the Holy Spirit is there to encourage me and remind me that this church belongs to God. I belong to God. You belong to God. And did I say at the very onset? At the very beginning, anyway, at the very beginning of this message, if you're doing anything at all for Jesus Christ, the devil's going to try to discourage you. Count on it. Amen. Count on it. So what should you do? Pray. Pray that God will plant a hedge about you. Pray that God will continue to bless you, show you favor. I don't know. Prayers, your prayers may be different from mine. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I've been praying some prayers. I've been in the Psalms. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Read some of the Psalms, Brian. Read them, memorize them, and pray them out loud back to God. Prayer. The habit of prayer. Base your happiness on your hope in Jesus Christ. Pray for me. Pray for the deacon body. Pray for anybody doing anything at all in this church. Certainly you need to pray. Secondly, the habit of study. Write that. We're talking about good habits. How often do you pray? You better be praying. Pray without ceasing. As I mentioned a lot of churches closing their doors. Somebody's not praying. Isn't that a song, Brother Jeff, that you've not sung in a long time? I'm putting in a request. Somebody's praying. Mercy. We just might have revival tonight. We're just not going to wait on Phil Glisson to bring revival. We'll have it waiting on him. The habit of study. The man who looks into the perfect law. Write down James 1:25. James 1, verse 25. The man who looks into the perfect law and makes a habit of so doing is not the man who sees and forgets. He puts that law into practice and he wins true happiness. James 1, verse 25. The Bible also says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. Before I preach, Randy, before you preach, I think I know the answer to this. Brother Brian, way out there, and I want to thank the both of you. I was told if I'd stayed gone much longer, I'd not come back. Well, no, it wasn't quite like that. But I knew before I came back I needed to study. Do y'all study before you just fly by the seat of your britches? Well, I guess you can fly by the seat of your britches for a while, but God wants us to be prepared. By the way, did David fly by the seat of his britches before he went into battle against the Philistine giant Goliath? Or did God prepare him for battle? I'm trying to prepare you for battle. First the habit of prayer, now the habit of study. You've got to get in the Word. Yeah, you don't have to. When I see what takes place in this church from time to time, and when I hear something come out of somebody's mouth from time to time, I'm not anybody's judge, but I am a pretty good detective, and I can figure out, Brother Yarbrough, pretty quick, you have not spent time with God. You have not been in the Word. If you are that sensitive, something's wrong somewhere. You ain't listening. You already know that if you're doing anything at all for God, you're going to come under attack. Keep the main thing the main thing. You tell me, church, what is the main thing in this church? Jesus! You all had a pastor one time who was more concerned with what women had on, and I love that man. He was my pastor too. More concerned with the outward appearance than what was going on with the heart. God is more interested in what's going on with the heart than He is with what's going on outside. You've got to study. And if you're not in the Word, my goodness gracious, go back to what Jesus said. The storm is going to come, the winds are going to blow, and because you built your house on the sand, it is going to be washed away. Study. Do I need to take any longer with that? All right, two more. I'll get you out of here. Write down giving. Every Sunday, each of you should put aside something from what you've earned during the week, and you should use it as an offering. That amount depends on how much I think the Lord has helped you, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:2. Write it down, read it for yourself. In the Old Testament, we all know what a tithe was. 1 Corinthians 16:2, write it down and read it. You need to develop a habit of study, a habit of prayer, and a habit of giving. And not just giving monetarily, not just a tithe. By the way, and remember now, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. But you can give of your time, talent. I'm not trying to pat Travis on the back. Travis right now is excited about serving the Lord. But Travis is here tonight. He's heard everything that I've said. Travis, they'll be expect some opposition. Some of them are going to say, we never did it that way. Travis wants to work with other families. And I think that's a great idea with our youth. Years and years and years ago, let me rephrase that. Years and years and years ago, Trish and I used to be the youth leaders of this church. Hello. But that was a long time ago. I still feel young until I look in the mirror and get out of bed. Kids today, and when I was growing up, if you had an Etch-a-Sketch, y'all remember those? You could entertain yourself for hours. Today, kids, man, they got a different mindset. And some of the ideas and thoughts that he brings, and his wife as a teacher, Keith and Sonia need help. And sometimes you ride the back of that donkey to the point that that donkey just doesn't want to be ridden anymore. And we got a handful of people in the church, and I'm not going to mention them here. They've just been used, and they feel like they've been abused, and so they're going to leave. They're going to walk away. You know, Pastor, you had 6 months to find somebody. Woo! Wow! You don't want me to wait on? I asked somebody one time. You don't want me to wait on the Lord? You just want me to appoint somebody for a particular job or function or task? Shouldn't we pray, wait on God to send us somebody? You tell me, church, you be the pastor. Should we wait on God, pray and wait on God? Or you want to make the choice? Abraham wanted to get ahead of God. God promised Abraham a child. Abraham had a handmaiden by the name of Hagar, and Hagar helped Sarah out. Woo, did she help him out and her out. I'll save that for another sermon. Y'all need to reacquaint yourself with Abraham, Sarah, and a baby. By the way, Hagar had a baby by the name of Ishmael. But Sarah finally had a baby too, didn't she? You know why she had that baby? She waited on God. Learn to give. It should be in your... See, that's what I don't understand, Brother Henley. Why, when you ask somebody to do something, they ought to... I'm glad you... I can't believe finally somebody asked me to do it. I can't wait. Give. It tells me a lot about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And finally, last of all, the habit of fellowship. Hebrews 10:25. Now remember, what are we talking about? What is the thesis of this Bible study this morning and tonight? Starts with a C. The next letter is H. You want to buy a vowel? Change. In order to change, we all need to give, we need to study, we need prayer, and never forget the habit of fellowship. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another. Now, in order for that change to come about, you have to want to change. There they are, habits worth having. And by the way, isn't it good to know that there are some habits good for you? You need to make all of these habits a part of your day, and you trust me. And I don't say that lightly, Brother Robert Mackins. Trust me, but only trust me if I'm following God's word. Foundationally, if what I'm sharing with you is good. Try this. Prayer, study, giving, fellowship, and watch and see when the devil comes knocking at your door. But by the way, don't answer either. Don't listen, don't answer, but rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. You will grow. Make these principles a part of your daily growth. If you were here a little while ago, you remember I told you the story about the little boy who fell out of his bed? Don't make the mistake of that little boy. Don't stay too close to where you got in. It's really risky sleeping on the edge of the bed. You should be more like Christ tonight. If you'll put these principles, oh my goodness gracious, we can grow a church right here if we'll just do these four things. What are they? There they are. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I realize that these are good habits, and I, as well as all who have heard tonight, we need to, from time to time, form good habits to replace bad habits. Church, if I were to ask you to describe someone who, in your estimation, maintains a lifestyle of godly habits, What would you say? What can you learn from that person? A year from now, church, what new habits would you like to have incorporated into your life? Well, Father, I know that I want to grow and I want to spend more time in your word. And as I study these four principles, I want them foundationally speaking to be a part of my everyday life. Because I know that if I do these things, that you promise we'll grow. You're not content to leave us where you find us. You'll save us right where you find us, but you're never content to leave us there. You want us to become more like Christ. That is called progressive sanctification, more like Christ today than we were yesterday. Father, I thank you for these men and women. They could have stayed home tonight, but they were hungry to hear your word. Help us, Father, to not just hear with our ears, but with our hearts. Help us to grow. Help us to bear much fruit. And so shall you be pleased. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Closing invitation. Pass me not, O gentle saint.